Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
Zechariah's song. So I want to show you a video clip about a father and his child.
Hey man, how's it going? Thank you so much for doing this. Amber, you ready?
No worries.
Oh. Amber, you ready?
Won't be late.
Have fun.
Thanks.
Do
you want to go out on the bikes?
Yeah.
You're probably wondering what the relevance is, but today's story is about a father and his child. Although as far as we know, Zechariah didn't do anything as outrageous as that. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he made signs to them and remained dumb. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Think about that promise for a moment. Usually when we're about to have a baby, we worry incessantly about its survival. We wonder if it will be a boy or a girl. We wonder what they will grow up to become. Zechariah had none of those worries. He knew it would be a son. He knew that he would survive into adulthood. He had the promise that his son would be an evangelist. So, how did John the Baptist turn out? We love to think of John the Baptist as a wild man. He lived in the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey. He wore garments made of camel's hair. His main message was fairly forceful: repent and be baptized. That could be seen as harsh and threatening. It implies that if you don't immediately confess your sins, there will be impending doom and disaster and judgment, perhaps in the form of a direct lightning strike. I wonder if that was how Zechariah was expecting John to turn out. John lived in the wilderness near the River Jordan, but he wasn't trying to live like a hermit in isolation, trying to get away from everyone. He had a message for people to hear, and people flocked to see him. John had a simple message. He told people that a person greater than himself was coming, and that they needed to prepare themselves for that by repenting and being baptized. The people came in their droves from Judea and Jerusalem. They heard the message, confessed their sins, and John baptized them on the spot in the river right by where he lived. He may not have been as wild as we imagine. There was a compulsion about him, an attraction. People were drawn to him and responded to his message. Look at the main things we know about John the Baptist. There aren't many times in the Bible that he's mentioned, but each passage is significant, and between them all, we learn three main things about him. Firstly, he dared to be different. Right from the start of John's life, there was the promise of something special. He was the answer to heartfelt prayers. Zechariah said this blessing over him when he was born. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 57. The time came for Elizabeth to be delivered, and she gave birth to a son. And her neighbours and kinsfolk heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have named him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "Not so, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your kindred is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation to Israel. John's parents recognized that although he was an answer to their prayer, there was a higher calling on his life to prepare the way of the Lord. So they dedicated him to the Lord, to set him apart, to serve the Lord and fulfill God's purposes. Secondly, he dared to discover God's purpose. John saw his purpose in life as being the forerunner of the Messiah. His simple message was to announce the good news of the coming Messiah and get people to prepare their hearts to receive him. He was familiar with the scriptures, as he quoted from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "Prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness, make straight paths in the desert as a highway for our God." Little did he know that his own cousin Jesus was to be the fulfillment of that prophecy, the Messiah sent by God to save the people from their sins. John baptized multitudes of people in the river as they responded to his message. Then he had the privilege of baptizing Jesus himself as he started his earthly ministry. So John was a witness to the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus as he emerged from the water at his baptism, and therefore he would have heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So John was fairly sure that Jesus was the one of whom Isaiah had spoken, but he never got to see the miracles Jesus performed or heard his teaching, because by then he'd been taken to prison. But he was vitally interested in knowing how Jesus was doing. So John sent two of his friends to find out if Jesus really was the promised Messiah. How were they going to do that? Well, like all good men do, they decided to just ask Jesus outright. Luke 7:22 says that when the men asked Jesus if he was the one John proclaimed about, or should they look for another one, Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." It was good news to the men who heard that reply and went back to report to John in prison. He died, knowing that he had discovered his purpose and fulfilled it and met the Messiah personally. And thirdly, John dared to die for his cause. In Mark chapter 6, we read that John had been seized and put into prison because Herod's wife had a grudge against him. John had told Herod that it was not lawful for him to have married Herodias because she was his brother's wife. John didn't shy away from the truth, even if it upset people. But he must have said it in a sincere way rather than a harsh way, because chapter 6, verse 20 of Mark tells us that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe in prison. When Herod heard him, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But when the opportunity arose, Herodias did manage to get John killed. Her daughter, Herod's niece, danced beautifully for him at his birthday party, and Herod impulsively offered her whatever she asked for, even up to half his kingdom. So Herodias instructed her daughter to ask for John's head. And we read in verse 26 of Mark chapter 6 that the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. So John's death was cruel and dramatic, beheaded in prison because the king's wife had a grudge against him. Even though John was a young man when he died in his early 30s, he had fulfilled his mission. Success is really not about living a long life. It's about what you accomplish in the years you have. John was prepared to die for his cause. He knew that his message was good news. It should still be good news to those who hear it today. It promises new hope, new life, new beginnings. I wonder if sometimes the church, not Opawa, but the church in general, preaches what sounds like bad news of doom and gloom and a long list of rules to obey. I wonder if some people feel excluded rather than invited in, or feel judgment rather than experiencing grace and mercy. However, the message of John is echoed in the message of Jesus. John preached, repent and be baptized. Jesus preached, repent and believe the good news. So the repentance aspect is really important. The repenting is the turning away from our sins, but it's also the turning around back towards God, surely towards something better than what we had. The good news is an invitation to a life of fulfillment. To repent and believe the good news isn't losing something, it's gaining everything. Not everyone feels the need to repent and grab hold of the good news on offer. They're happy with life as it is. Or maybe they're not happy with life as it is, but they don't recognise that there is good news on offer. And that's why we, as the Christian community, need to take seriously our task of giving the same message today, the message of hope and joy. Jesus realised that if people were going to recognise the Messiah when he came, they would need to be prepared by having their hearts cleansed. Mark Dehaan says in Our Daily Bread, mountains of religious pride would need to come down. Those in the valley of despair because of their broken lives would need to be lifted up. Neither could be done by human effort alone. Those who refuse to respond to the Spirit of God by accepting John's baptism of repentance failed to recognize their Messiah when he came. Yet those who saw their need for change discovered in Jesus the goodness and wonder of God. Zechariah discovered the goodness and wonder of God in answering his prayer for a child when he dared to believe the angel. John, that child of promise, dared to be different. He dared to discover God's purpose, and he dared to die for his cause. We're not likely to die for our faith as John did, but let's make sure that we bear fruit by sharing the good news with the same compulsion and urgency that John did, so that others might see their need to repent and believe the good news. It's not such a wild thing to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the story of Zechariah and of John, that child of promise, who was the forerunner to the Messiah. Lord, their faith helped so many to become converted, to believe the good news about Jesus and recognize Jesus for who he was. Help us to learn from this story the importance of sharing that faith and good news with others that we meet. Amen.